In my human-centric leadership course, I spend a lot of time in three areas: knowing yourself and your own mindset, understanding the people around you that you have to work with, and then the interaction of the two. And sometimes it's that interaction between people of different generations that cause the challenges that we face every day. And so my conversation with Gabrielle Boucher, a millennial, a leader, and so inspirational. Her research is so incredible, and understanding the differences between the generations and knowing how to bring them together towards common goals and dreams. Let's listen to our conversation.
The millennial generation was raised in suburbans with televisions in the back. And how many extracurriculars can you have at once? And where do you want to go on vacation? No, I don't know. Where do you want to go on vacation? Whereas my parents' generation, it was, I'm not asking you, you're getting in the back and you're driving wherever mom and dad tell you to go. So it's even just how a generation was raised really influences how a generation views leadership. So a millennial is going to be far more collaborative and sees leadership as asking questions and saying, I'm not quite sure, what do you think? Whereas an older generation may look at a millennial who asks questions and say, she's not ready for leadership. Because for his generation, he sees leadership as delegation, don't admit that you don't know, and making a quick decision. Whereas a younger generation may see leadership as questioning and collaboration.
Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals.
Hello, I am Deb Coviello, founder of Illumination Partners, and I'm so excited that you've joined me for another episode of the Drop-In CEO podcast, where I speak to amazing leaders and share their insights with you. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review so we can continue to bring you great programming. And I'd also like to make you this offer. I am the CEO's guide to elevating your business and team through rapid change and bring you peace of mind. For more information about my consulting services, please contact me at dropinceo.com and let's continue the conversation. And now I am honored to share the mic with my fantastic guest, Gabrielle Boucher. Gabrielle is one of the most booked millennial motivators in the world. And she has also been labeled as the millennial expert. She is a popular TEDx presenter, best-selling author, and also co-founder of The Purpose Company. And she has been featured in many media outlets, including Success Magazine, NPR, Sirius Radio, and many, many others. But the reason why I wanted to bring her today is that I talk about emerging leaders so much in my show, and she is that CEO and leader today, and one for tomorrow, and that we should be listening to. So Gabrielle, please, thank you for being on the show. Let's have a great conversation. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you.
All right. So I want the world to know more about you. Please share a little bit about yourself personally and your business journey and the insights that you have now.
Yeah, well, it certainly has been a journey. I wrote my first book about millennials when I was 17 years old, going into college, really from a place of curiosity. I think sometimes people will look at me and say, oh my gosh, you wrote a book when you were 17. If you would have looked at me at the time, I was 5'9", had more braces than teeth, and not exactly socially adept. So there wasn't a lot of other alternatives at the time. So I kind of took that internal curiosity I had about the world around me and developed an expertise around it. And that's something that I usually coach when I'm talking to students or at universities or just working with young people. That's one of the first pieces of advice that I give them is, you know, really look at what kind of problem have you solve for yourself, and how can you solve that problem for other people? It's one of the fastest ways to develop expertise, especially in a really competitive job market. So I started this journey really of becoming a millennial expert almost on accident, simply because I was trying to solve this challenge myself, that I was the youngest person in my family. I was the youngest person in my class. I was the youngest person in my college. And so I was oftentimes looked at and asked, what's wrong with your generation? And so it was this curiosity of, why are we different? Why are there so many negative labels around young people? And how do we bridge the generation gap? And so throughout college, I really focused on generational reconciliation. I focused on looking at how different generations vote, how different generations purchase things, how different generations work together. And it really kind of informed this very interesting and kind of colorful journey that I weaved through my early 20s of going from politics and campaigning, government work, nonprofit work, and then eventually launching my company, The Millennial Solution, which we work with corporations, organizations, and the military to help bridge the generation gap based off of a solid foundation of generational leadership theory to better understand how different generations lead and how different generations want to be led.
Beautiful insight there. But before we go any further, tell us a little bit something about you personally. You've talked about the business journey. What should we know more about Gabrielle?
So where do I begin? Oh my goodness. Fun facts about me. Yeah. I started doing beauty pageants based off of a dare in high school. And so went down that very interesting journey. And it was a very, very fun one of competing in Miss California, USA to Miss Washington, D.C., United States. I mean, I've kind of done it all, which is very interesting and a whole lot of fun. I played competitive tennis for 15 years and coached tennis for a number of years. So I'm extremely, extremely competitive. And I get to run my company with my husband, whom I met on Facebook. So if there's not anything more millennial than that, I'm not quite sure.
Oh my, I didn't expect all that. But you know, what's amazing about that is I ran a half marathon on a dare. So dare people, you never know what amazing things they're going to do. But
I love that.
But let's get back to this generational leadership. So what are a couple, three insights that just are resounding that we need to understand in order to work with and side by side you?
Leadership, like any other word, is a definitions challenge within organizations. So what I've learned in looking at and studying generational motivation over the last 10 years is that different generations want to lead and be led differently. And so what we found is baby boomers, for example, are really one of the last generations in American history that were raised by military or military era parents. And so because of that, they have a very structured, process-oriented approach to leadership. And so they're looking at scalability. You know, there's an A, there's a B, there's a C. We're going to have a meeting about it and then have another meeting about it later. Generation X, they were called the latchkey generation because their parents, both of their parents worked. And so they're very independent. And so for them, it was don't have somebody else do it. If you want something done right, you should do it yourself. So very, very entrepreneurial, figure it out yourself. Whereas the millennial generation was raised in suburbans with televisions in the back. And how many extracurriculars can you have at once? And where do you want to go on vacation? No, I don't know. Where do you want to go on vacation? Whereas my parents' generation, it was, I'm not asking you, you're getting in the back and you're driving wherever mom and dad tell you to go. So it's even just how a generation was raised really influences how a generation views leadership. So a millennial is going to be far more collaborative and sees leadership as asking questions and saying, I'm not quite sure, what do you think? Whereas an older generation may look at a millennial who asks questions and say, she's not ready for leadership. Because for his generation, he sees leadership as delegation, don't admit that you don't know, and making a quick decision. Whereas a younger generation may see leadership as questioning and collaboration.
Wow, amazing insights. And thank you for that, because I didn't realize I fall into that latchkey generation. Don't tread on me. I'm going to do it my own way because I had to survive and do things on my own. So amazing insight, but I'm curious, knowing that we have this generational gap in understanding leadership, when we have the millennials in an organization where it's being led by that structured baby boom organization, and I wonder, the latchkey gen whatever, where I'm the entrepreneur, I had to slug this out myself, how do you bridge those gaps? Because again, we're all very smart people, your generation, amazingly smart, and we need to leverage that. So how do you bridge some of those gaps?
The first step is really to understand your own leadership style. And so with anything, there's there's a self-introspection element that I think is really, really important, where people need to really understand, what do I view as a great leader? So asking yourself, what's the best leader I've ever worked for? What elements about her leadership really resonated with me? Do I want to replicate or rebel how I was raised? Because what we've actually found is, in generational leadership theory, people learn how to lead one of two ways. Number one, how they were parented. And number two, how they were managed or led in their first or second job. So kind of that early imprint in your career. And so what we do is help people identify, are you replicating or rebelling one of those two inputs? Because whether you know it or not, we're all really just on autopilot when it comes to leadership. So asking and learning about your own leadership style is really important. The second step is what we call generational empathy. And generational empathy is really focusing on, how do you be more curious than critical of other generations? So rather than looking at them and saying, I don't like how they lead, or they lead differently, or I don't think that they're ready for leadership simply because they're leading differently, becoming curious, asking questions, saying, why did you think that that was a good idea? Or walk me through why you wanted to connect with this person first instead of making a decision on your own. And as a leader, whether you're 22 or 62, you're going to learn so much about the people that you are working with, because you'll actually recognize that there's a lot more forethought that goes into our leadership style than many of us necessarily realize. That there is a reason behind people ask questions or move quickly or don't move quickly, or need to think something through logically versus making a list or being more emotive in making decisions. So it's really having a structure around, how do you learn how other people lead?
You know, there is so much in there, and I want to just slow down a bit, because I'm going to just share again what I picked up from this. This is so, so important. Anybody listening to this podcast right now, whether you're a CEO of a company, because I know we both speak to those kinds of people, you're a entrepreneur or in your career or even emerging leader, think about it. How do you react to leadership? Replicating or rebelling? Okay, we just have to pause there, because I talk about, we need to just own ourselves and our emotion and our interaction with the world. So recognizing, are you replicating or rebelling? And I really love, everybody needs to know this thing, is that empathy component, being more curious and asking questions versus reacting to the replication or the rebellion in what you're seeing. So much insight there. But I'm curious, so you are hired by amazing organizations that want to dip their toe into this. But I'm curious about your journey with a new company. Do they accept you with open arms because they say, we need to do something about understanding the generations and how they interact? But do you find sometimes, once you're starting to work with them, they have challenges, and how do you help them through it to get to a better place?
I think most organizations would raise their hand and say, yes, we want to move forward. Yes, we recognize that we want to have a generationally diverse and rich organization. But with anything, with any change, the reality is certainly different than the dream or the ideal of how that journey looks. And so as you're on this journey with them, there's always going to be a clashing of egos. And so that ego isn't necessarily that I'm better than you, but as human beings, we all have these kind of entrenched beliefs about how we think the world should work. And so much of that is really based on a foundation of what we understand respect as. And so older generations have been really raised with an idea that respect is something that is to be earned, or based off of a title. So I am your boss, I am your parent, I am the professor, I am the military official, whatever that looks like. I have my name on the door, and that means that I should be respected. And that's not necessarily the case with a younger generation. A younger generation is coming in, and thinks respect needs to be exchanged. And so they're looking at their leadership and saying, well, I want to respect you, but do you respect me? And older generations are saying, no, because you haven't earned it. And so just that simple understanding that we need to really address the expectations of a workforce coming in who is expecting information to be shared just as readily as it is on social media, that they want to have feedback in real time, that they want to have respect exchange. I mean, really giving leaders that we work with the tools to be able to explain the feeling that an organization has. Because you see this working with organizations, there are feelings, frustrations, anxieties that oftentimes people feel but can't communicate. And so that's really one of the superpowers of bringing in experts, is being able to help attach words to feelings so that way you can move forward with a strategy of really bridging that gap for real.
You know, it's interesting that you've hinged on topic of millennial experts, millennial strength and their leadership, and how to impact the culture of organizations to get a better result, understanding the diversity and differences in the generation. But I find your work is so relevant that an organization can look at their culture if it's not at peak performance, and simply these fundamentals of respect, empathy, curiosity, regardless if it's generational. It could be different business units, different companies being integrated together. Your research is so relevant to any company, regardless of whether they think they want a generational initiative. Do companies use your insights in that way as well, from a diversity perspective?
Yeah, certainly. And that's really what I think has been so fascinating, is oftentimes when I'm done speaking at an executive retreat or at a conference, people will come up to me and say, well, what you're talking about really works for every generation. And I'm like, shh, don't tell anybody else, because it's true, because the principles are true because they work. And so it's certainly really important to understand that the skills that it takes to become a great leader at any age are going to be really relevant and important no matter the size of the organization or the age of the employee. And I think giving an organization permission to pursue it and not just deal with their millennial problem, which I think was one of the challenges that a lot of our clients had when we first started over, nearly a decade ago, that people were trying to figure out these millennials. Well, now millennials are managers and executives and CEOs, and they're no longer the interns that are just frustrating to deal with. They're your coworkers, your colleagues, your bosses, your clients. And so it's really understanding, I think, where a new generation is coming from and recognizing that they don't need to change to be more relevant or to be more respectable. But really, I think as an organization, you have the opportunity to change together.
You know, I love this conversation, and I'll just share a personal note here. So I've been in business now for almost 2 years, and I will tell you, I surround myself with a network of very smart people. And a lot of them are in your generation, extremely smart, intelligent, resourceful individuals leveraging technology, and also extremely collaborative. And I'll take it one step further. You in your generation, I'll refer to you, take time to get to understand who they're trying to help and serve. They really are into the relationship, because once we get to know each other and I say, yep, I need you to build my website, boom, they understand me. They deliver on the product, and it's very, very, very collaborative. So love working with this generation. So valuable. But I want to take it in a slightly different direction, because yes, we need to understand the generational differences and the empathy, but you also talk about how to retain your top talent. Because let's just say maybe we're not on an initiative to understand how the generations work together, but just in general, I see so many frustrated people in your age group, and they work hard, and then sometimes they lose their confidence, they drift, they lose their engagement, and they leave. So what are your thoughts around this?
Retention is a huge challenge, especially when you've cultivated the talent itself. And I work with a number of clients that are top of their field and they're known for employee development. And then after 2 years or 3 years, their employees that they've poured $2,000, $10,000, sometimes even more into the development of their employee will decide to move on. And so what we found is there's a number of reasons for that. So first, what we've actually found is that when you ask a millennial how long she plans to stay at her next company, she'll say at least 5 years. And yet the average millennial moves on every 2 to 3. So you start to wonder what gives. And so really why employees move on, and this is true no matter the age of the employee, is because of one word, and that's expectations. So what is the expectation of the employee coming in? So many companies never clarify the expectations. They just assume that each other knows what each other wants. And that's like being in a romantic relationship and never having conversations around expectations of how often are we doing date night, or who's taking charge of the kids, or who's going to handle our finances. And if you walk into any relationship, romantic or professional, and you don't have a communication around expectations, you're going to end up bitter. And so what we do and what we teach is, as we work with organizations in developing onboarding programs, for example, which, by the way, onboarding has actually been found to, by our research, been the number one retention program you could possibly put in. And that's simply because you're quickly setting expectations and quickly connecting the personal purpose of your employees to the professional purpose of the company. And so a simple thing to do is to have your new employees, and you can do this whether they're new or have been there for 10 years, but to write out their three expectations for working with you. Is it around salary? Is it around the type of work that they're going to be doing, access to clients, time till retirement? I mean, whatever that looks like, this is such an effective technique to be able to quickly understand where your employees are coming from. And you then get to share your three expectations with them. And that way, if there is a challenge, if you're having feedback sessions, you can return to your expectation sheet to use that as a template to be able to say, are we both living up to our side of our expectations? And if not, what do we need to adjust?
So it just boils down to what you talked about, trust and respect. Again, not a generational thing. We should be doing this for all of our employees. And I have sad stories to tell. When I go into consulting clients, I have found that some people have never had a one-to-one with their boss. I ask, do they have development discussions, you know, career development discussions? No. So I'm coaching them. Okay, maybe you need to be the bigger person and set that up. And then quite frankly, simply, as to your point, I'm dealing with a client right now who's very frustrated because she can't get a policy in place. Well, we failed to align with leadership, and leadership has to set the expectations that we need to align with people. So very frustrating. I think it's just leadership 101 that has come out of the work that you've talked about. So the purpose factor, your new book, why now that book?
The journey of not only writing the purpose factor, but inserting purpose into our work has certainly been an interesting one. So over the last 10 years, we've really been the millennial people. We've been brought in to work with major organizations, the U.S. military, these amazing groups to talk about how do we bridge the generation gap. And what's been really interesting as we've been developing our work, we started to recognize that there was something that was true no matter the age of the person we were dealing with. And that was that everyone wanted to know, number one, that they matter, and number two, that the work that they do matters. And as we started to have these conversations, we started to recognize that everything really boiled down to purpose. First, finding your purpose, and secondarily, being able to use your purpose at work. And in our early 20s, as most people do, we were told by mentors and friends and society, find your purpose, find your purpose. And yet no one told us how. And so Brian, my husband and my co-author on the book, we kind of came together and started to consider if there was a process for purpose. And if there was, could it be replicated and used inside of the workforce? So over the course of about 6 years and 15,000 hours of us developing this process, and we did everything from looking at, you know, ancient philosophies to popular religions to modern motivators, really looking at what are some core themes of purpose discovery that we can boil down to a simple process that we can use inside of an organization. And that's where the purpose factor really emerged. And that first moment was kind of interesting. We were working with a Fortune 20 company. We were doing 2 days of training on generational diversity. I had left the room. My husband was there with me. He wasn't planning on doing any of the training. It was the second day, 6 hours of training. I was tired and hungry. And so I told my husband, I said, hey, just give me like 30 minutes, teach on something. I'll be right back. Like, mama needs a snack. And I came back in and everyone is crying. And I'm like, what did you do? And he'd been teaching on purpose. And one of the core elements, we have 4 elements of purpose, but one of them is called origin story, which is what you've overcome. And so we had this group of executives talking about how this one HR executive had been inspired to go into HR because he had in college walked in on his roommate about to commit suicide. And he ran over, took the gun out of his roommate's mouth, helped his roommate find a job, helped his roommate find meaning. And this now executive was recognizing for the very first moment that that's what had inspired him to get into the space of HR, because he knew that if you could help your people find meaning, you could help them find purpose at work. And there was just a powerful connection point there. And so that really started our journey of inserting purpose into everything that we do. So whether that's training the U.S. Air Force on how to recruit the next generation, or working with major executives at Fortune 20 companies on how to train a new generation of leaders, everything is really boiled for us down to purpose. Because if you can help your people first find their purpose and secondarily apply their purpose at work, you don't have communication issues, you don't have retention issues, you don't have frustration issues. It absolutely all comes together.
You know, thank you. Because I think this is a good moment for everybody to reflect a little bit about, do you have your origin story? And it takes time to reflect, but I will absolutely say, I don't think it was one particular story, but just for me, not having mentors, not having leadership that I'm aligned to, somehow slugging it out and being independent and trying to figure out my career, a major missing place. And while I was amazingly successful in my technical career, it's now that through this program, interviewing you, I'm getting inspired and getting the insights to further develop my leadership and also to bridge the gap for other leaders to come. So that's my origin story. And I think it's so important that we pause and think about why, what's our purpose, and what really gets us excited for what we do every day. But just a quick question. This is really a curiosity. So obviously this is revolutionary. This is a mindset shift. The more we do this, really working collaboratively with the generations, communication is so easy. But I'm curious, the role of a mentor. Some organizations are really good through have an onboarding process, put a mentor with these up-and-coming professionals. Is that still necessary or not? If we use some of the principles that you propose, I'm curious.
So I'm a huge proponent of mentoring. I think mentoring is one of the most powerful components of any organization. I think many organizations, even if they're well-intentioned, aren't well-executed.
Yes.
So I call it mail order mentoring, where you get assigned a mentor and it, you know, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but it's just, it feels a little awkward. And those relationships tend to not be very successful because they're not organic.
Yeah.
There's no choice in it and there's no beginning or end. And so we actually develop mentoring programs. We've developed them for universities and chambers of commerce and companies because we so believe in mentoring. But why most mentoring programs don't work is they're not training the mentor how to mentor and they're not training the mentee how to be mentored. And so we were working with a university once developing a mentoring program. The mentors came to us and said, you know, we keep reaching out to these kids and they're not responding. And then we asked the students, why aren't you reaching out? And they said, well, we don't know how. We don't want to waste their time. They were intimidated. And yet the mentor thought that the students were being disrespectful. So while the students were afraid of being seen as disrespectful, so they weren't doing anything. It was just this really interesting dynamic. So mentoring, I think, is so incredibly important. But I think an organization needs to make it organic. You need to train people how to mentor. So that way, there's not just five mentors in an organization that are bearing the burden of mentoring a number of people. And I think mentoring needs to be a culture where it's not just kind of the typical, you know, Yoda type mentor, I'm going to come and teach you. But mentoring really should be a roundtable where there's peer mentoring and reverse mentoring in place, where we all as an organization come in and recognize, no matter if you're brand new to the organization or founded the organization, we can all learn from one another.
You know, I love that concept that mentoring can take all shapes and sizes. In fact, I'm working with the American Society for Quality and I'm co-authoring articles on the mentoring playground for adults, because even adults need to learn in safe environments, learn new skills, and doing it going back to the days of the playground where you just had to figure it out. And if you scraped your knee, people would pick you out and you'd learn new things together. Mentoring is such an under-realized technique to elevating everybody. So I could go on and on. You are so smart. I am so excited to just enjoy all the insights, both the work that you have done along with your husband in this purposeful work. But as we bring this to a close, what are a couple thoughts that maybe people should think about or maybe act on as we just try to all work together, regardless of the generation or the diversity that we all have?
Yeah, I think one of the kind of core activities that I think is really powerful, because I'm a big, you know, practical takeaways kind of girl, is, you know, if you find yourself in a situation, whether you're leading someone of a different generation or living with someone of a different generation, is to really take on a mindset of curiosity. And so as humans, we have a really hard time deleting behaviors. So you may say, I need to stop being critical. I need to stop eating too much. I need to stop, you know, yelling at my dog or whatever that bad behavior is, we actually don't delete well. And so instead of deleting a behavior, replace it. So rather than being critical of the people in your life, start to replace that criticism with a compliment. So whether that's someone in your life who you're leading and you're saying, I can't believe that they're so late all the time, or that they don't dress professionally, or they can't seem to, you know, get their life together, start to practice curiosity and compliment them. So say, you know, I'm really thankful that, you know, they clearly have a lot going on and they still make time to do their work. Or I'm really impressed with how they have so many priorities and, you know, that they're clearly trying to work through it. So whatever that looks like for you, instead of saying, I need to stop doing this, and rather than saying, stop doing this, replace that behavior with a positive behavior, usually a compliment or a curious thought. And you're really going to start to recognize that the way you interact with people is going to be different.
Thank you. Just one big thank you for your time. Thank you for amazing insights. I know people are going to want to connect with you after the show. How can they do that?
Absolutely. So you can find me on LinkedIn. We post content, videos, free assessments on LinkedIn. So you can find me at Gabrielle Beauchet on LinkedIn. You can pick up a new copy of our book, The Purpose Factor, at purposefactorbook.com. And it's just been an incredible journey of writing that book. It's been endorsed by everyone from Brian Tracy and Tom Ziegler to The Rock and Lewis Howes. And it's been a really, really huge blessing to see that this topic of purpose is not only relevant, but I think really necessary as organizational leaders really start to consider, what's our role as employers? How can we better equip and train our people? And how can we empower all of us to work better together? So I'd certainly say pick up the book at purposefactorbook.com and connect with me on LinkedIn, and would love to continue the conversation there.
All right, Gabrielle, you've been an amazing guest. I know I'll be picking up a copy of the book. Wish you continued success. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.